Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
All right, if you would please open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. We're in chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. This is God's word. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be immediately thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some of the astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up.' Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?' Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up.' Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, 'Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?' They replied, 'Certainly, O king.' He said, 'Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods.' Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. How many of us have, let's say in the last month or so, faced temptation? Oh, really? Everyone? Okay, we all face temptations, don't we? We face temptations every day. But rare is the circumstance where we would face this kind of temptation. I want us to think, first of all, about the temptation that they faced. All the big shots were there. Everybody who was important. Look at the list. It's very specific. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image. I mean, this was a who's who list. This was all the really big, powerful, important people. They're all there. All the big shots. Everybody's there. In that situation, you really want to do the right thing. You really want to do the right thing, okay? You want to make a good impression. So there's a certain amount of peer pressure ratcheted up, okay? But that wasn't the only thing that made it a temptation. Their life was on the line. When I'm tempted to do something wrong, I think about the consequences if I do the wrong thing or the consequences if I do the right thing. And it's, you know, kind of usually for me, the consequences of doing the wrong thing are bad. The consequences of doing the right thing, pretty good, you know. I mean, in other words, I'm not going to get punished for doing the right thing. These people were in the situation that our brothers and sisters in many parts of the world are in today. And that is, if they do the right thing, it could cost them their life. And these folks weren't just told Nebuchadnezzar could be upset. You don't want to upset the king. They were explicitly told in the instructions, this is what you're to do, and furthermore, if you don't do it, you're going to get executed, and not just executed, we've already thought of how. We're going to throw you into a furnace of blazing fire. You're going to get burned alive. Not the way I choose to go. Most of us just never even have to consider this kind of temptation. The temptations we face are not this tough. If you think it's hard for you to do the right thing, just imagine how hard it was for these guys. Now, what do you do in a situation like that? That was the temptation. Do it or die. Okay. Well, what did they do? That's point number two, their response. First is their temptation, the nature of the temptation. The second is their response to the temptation. They said, guys, we can't worship that statue. Let's just, when the music starts, let's kneel down and retie our sandals. Okay? We're not going to worship, but we just want to fit in. Say, we're just going to blend. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever tried to look like you were doing the wrong thing without doing it? Because you didn't, I mean, you knew you shouldn't do what everybody else was doing, and you didn't really want to do what they were all doing, but you didn't want them to know that you weren't going to do it, so you were just going to try and look cool and fit in. You know, kind of, yeah, me too. I mean, we just want to fit in. We just want people to think that we're cool too. You know, yeah, I've done that. Yeah, no, not tonight, but, you know, yeah, count me in. Does anybody understand that that's nuts? That is crazy. The world's crazy. Because we live in a world where it is so nuts that you have to be afraid to do the right thing instead of afraid to do the wrong thing. Let me tell you, if you do the right thing, people in this world may kill you for it. It's been that way apparently for a long time. Back in the day of Nebuchadnezzar, it was that way. The first person to be physically killed in human history was killed for doing the right thing. His name was Abel. This goes way back. Not just to the time of Nebuchadnezzar, all the way back to the first family. Abel was killed because he did the right thing. God was pleased with him, so his brother Cain killed him because he was jealous. He was angry. He hated his brother because his brother did the right thing. You understand that? It's still going on today. If you do the right thing, there will be people who will hate you for it. Most people in our culture at this point in time will not kill you for it. But be ready, because that day could come. And it could come quicker than most of us think.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Their response was not to bend down and work on their sandals. It was not to try to make it look like that they were fitting in, you know. Could we just kind of, maybe, what if we kneel and pray to our God? Okay? We don't have to worship the statue. We'll worship our God. And these people won't know the difference. Okay, now we're getting spiritual. The sandal idea, that was totally carnal. Now we're getting spiritual. Okay, guys, let's just pray to our God. Okay, but we'll kneel down so that people don't know. Okay, it's okay if they think we're worshiping the statue. No, it's not. It's not okay if they think you're worshiping the statue. Because to worship the statue is to take sides against the God who is God. And so your obedience is not for the purpose of appearing self-righteous. But you cannot back down from clearly, unapologetically doing what is right. That's what they did. There was no compromise. There was no rationalizing. There was no deceit. There was no delay. There was no backing down. Now, when you face temptation, you may do the wrong thing. And if you do the wrong thing, you need to repent and ask God to forgive you and then seek to do the right thing from there on. But if you do the right thing, you may get another temptation. This time, maybe even more intense. You see, before they were with all the satraps, prefects, governors, all those people, all the other big officials. Now they're brought into the presence of the king because there are some wicked folks who hate them, who are jealous of them, and they want them killed. And so they go to the king, make an accusation saying, these guys, they worship their God, not your gods, plural. And king, you need to know they're not listening to you. They don't do what you say. They're not worshiping that statue that you've set up. They're defying your law. And so the king is furious. He's angry. He doesn't rethink his position. He immediately wants to enforce his decree. And he calls for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought before him. And he says to them, look at the way he does this. He says to them, is it true? And then he doesn't wait for an answer because he doesn't really want to know. He wants to give them another opportunity. These are some of his best guys. Remember, along with Daniel, they've already been held in high esteem. Daniel had kind of brought them along. These are Daniel's buddies. And so he says to them, is it true, verse 14, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up? Verse 15, now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harps, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I've made, very good. In other words, we're going to let bygones be bygones, fellas. I understand you've done the wrong thing. Is that true? Don't tell me. Listen, here's what we'll do. Okay? I don't want to know. We're just going to let it go. I'm going to give you another chance here. You're going to have a chance to do the right thing. And if you do what I tell you to do, everything's good. You're off the hook. But if not, I'm going to cook you alive. Now that's real temptation. Okay? Because now they're not just in the presence of all these other people. They're in the presence of the king who's going to have them executed. And the furnace is right over there. They said, could we have 24 hours to think about this? Is that what they said? No. They responded, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. I love that. If you're doing the right thing, you don't have to defend it. You just do the right thing because you're doing it not for them but for God. You're doing the right thing because it's the right thing. You're doing the right thing because God says so. He said, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. Don't forget that. God is stronger than any of the forces of nature because God invented nature. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king, but even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up. I love these guys. I don't want to just meet them. I want to be like them. Because there were consequences for their obedience. What were the consequences? Well, the first consequence was they were tied up tightly and thrown into the furnace. If you were Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego, and you had just done the right thing and then got hauled in before the king and threatened again, and again you did the right thing, wouldn't that be a great moment for God to swoop in and save you? It's not what happened. That's what I would have scripted. I think that'd be great. So cool. The king's about to tell them that they're going to die, and he's the one who dies. I love that stuff. Doesn't happen. The soldiers who come to bind them, for some reason, the ropes keep snapping. Nope. The ropes work fine. They're tied up tight. And the furnace is heated 7 times hotter than normal. And it is so hot that the guys who go to throw them in are killed by the flames just getting close enough to throw them in. And those weren't just wimpy guys. Some of the strongest soldiers in his army were the ones who tied up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were killed by the flames because you couldn't even get close enough to the furnace without, I mean, it didn't just say they got burned or they said, ow, 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 ow. They were killed. Now, if you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you're anything like me, you would be crying out to God internally. Maybe not externally. You might know you're going, oh, God, please save us. They've got us tied up. It's getting hot. There's nothing to indicate they did that. But on the inside, I guarantee you, I would have been doing that. So, they're thrown into the fiery furnace. That's the first consequence. Second consequence is, only one thing burns. It wasn't their clothes. It wasn't their hair. Wasn't them. It was the ropes. The ropes went like ropes do in a fire. They were free. They're walking around in the fire. The ropes burned up. Do you know what will happen when you do what God says to do and suffer for it? Things that used to bind you won't bind you anymore. They found freedom in the midst of a furnace. Let me just tell you, meditate on that and ask God to show you how it applies to your life, because it applies to the Christian life. In the midst of the furnace, you will discover freedom. You will be set free from things that used to bind you. When you do what God says and suffer for it, there will be freedom. Freedom from what used to bind you. The third thing is, third consequence, they met Jesus. The fourth man in the furnace was none other than God himself. God shows up when we're in a furnace of affliction. They met the Lord in the midst of the flames. And he didn't come out afterwards. He didn't come out and introduce himself to Nebuchadnezzar. Hi, I'm pre-incarnate Christ. Just wanted you to know. No, didn't do that. The only place where he was seen by Nebuchadnezzar was there in the flames, there in the midst of the furnace, there in the midst of the suffering, there in what he had meant for evil, in the death that he had tried to inflict. That is where the Son of God shows up. And so when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out, there was one more consequence. Everybody looked at them, and they didn't even smell like smoke. I love it. These guys had just been in the fire, and they didn't even smell like fire. Amazing! And so the king, seeing this, said, there is no God like their God. Anybody? I love this. Nebuchadnezzar was determined to kill somebody. Okay? So, he had just tried to kill these three guys because they wouldn't do what he said. But he says, therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces and their houses turned into piles of rubble. I will be obeyed. Because no other God can save in this way. And they were promoted in Babylon. Wow. Do you understand, folks? You and I, when we face temptation, by God's grace, through his power, if we know Jesus, we can say no to the evil and yes to the good. We can do what God tells us, even if it costs us our life. The reason these guys had such courage is they were not afraid to die. When death has lost its sting because of the gospel, there's just not a lot else they can take away. Take away your belongings. Take away your job. Take away your reputation. But they can't take away the life you have in Christ. Nobody can take that away. And so you don't have anything to be afraid of. Well, what if I get sick? You'll probably get sick. But what if something bad happens? Lots of bad stuff's going to happen. But what if it hurts? It'll hurt. But you don't have to be afraid. Do not fear. Don't be afraid. Have courage. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. I'll say it again. Rejoice.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.